Hi guys, welcome to Psychic Babes. I'm your host, Kirsten Sandifer. Today we have a great guest for you. I think you're going to be really interested in this episode. His name is Errol Lawrence. He is an Aboriginal healer, an amazing First Nations healer, and a tribal member of the Kisi-Kuinin First Nations in Manitoba, Canada. He provides healing and teaching services to First Nation communities, private individuals, and professional organizations. As an Indigenous healer, Errol helps individuals quickly resolve crippling ailments such as depression, abuse, addiction, physical ailments, despair, grief, pain, suffering. He pretty much covers the gamut on anything that you're experiencing that you don't want to be. He provides access healing to your ancestors who have pushed their unresolved emotionally charged energy into the present, into your present. And they basically make us play out these patterns over and over and over and over again. And these patterns are addiction, abuse, slavery, deprivation, suffering, and much, much more. And I can myself testify he is a very talented healer, and he's very talented at what he does. And just an all-around amazing individual who is definitely doing his part to help humanity. And I'm very grateful for you, and thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, absolutely.
Looking forward to this conversation.
Me too. Well, I want you to talk about a little bit how you got into healing. But before we do that, I want to tell the listeners a little bit about my journey, because when I contacted Errol, he said, well, listen, the best way for you to understand how I do this, because I wanted to learn how to do this kind of healing. I've been interested in Aboriginal, healing modalities for a long time. And he said, the best way for you to experience it or to understand it is to do it. So on a Saturday morning at 6 a.m., bright and bushy-tailed, I was up, and we took off to do the healing. And I thought, I picked this time because my daughter, I have a 3-year-old daughter, and I thought she'll be asleep, no problem. Well, it was kind of funny because she woke up about an hour into it. And instead of me, because we had gotten through some of the healing stuff already, a good chunk of it, I knew immediately she wasn't going to be upset. It wasn't going to be a big deal, but that she wanted to be included in it. And that my daughter sat there for an hour and a half after that without a peep out of her. And I don't know any 3-year-old that does that, for one, much less not mine, And afterwards, it was really neat. She said to me, Mommy, I felt your energy. And I don't talk to her like that. I mean, she knows what I do, but that's not something she would normally say. And I felt hers too. And we had an amazing day, and we have, honestly, it's changed our relationship completely. And I tell you guys this because it was so profound to me, because I was going through such a trouble with her at the moment, with her not listening. And turns out it had to do with my ancestors, and I wasn't listening. That was the thing, because I was hearing all this other chatter that didn't enable me to center in on what her wants and needs were. So I was finally able to shut that out, and I knew immediately she just wanted to participate. And we didn't have one, tamper tantrum after that. We didn't have one, nothing. And her teachers have said in class, she's been amazing, she's listening, and it's been really profound for us. We had an amazing day in nature and a great talk, and it just, I know what she needs now without her even having to communicate it to me. It's like telepathically, she just sends me the message and I get it. So that was one part of it. That was my first inkling that this was going to be more powerful than I had even imagined. I knew it would be, but there's a reason people come into your life, and I'm very glad that Errol came into mine and helped me with this, because it's a gift I don't know if I can ever repay, but I would certainly like to. So I wanted to ask you, you mentioned in an interview at the age of 6 that you came to the aid of your mother, who she had, you know, her back had been bothering her as a result of working long hours and standing on this concrete floor. And you told her, turn around, and you put your hands on her back, and 20 minutes later, there was just no sign of pain. How did you just intuitively know to do that?
You know, it's just one of those things. I just knew what to do, and there's no explanation really beyond that. So when presented with the opportunity, I just stepped in and said, trust me, this will work. Don't ask me why I know this, but I do, and put my hands on her back. And like I said, 20 minutes later, I think she was thoroughly amazed.
I bet. Yeah.
She was a little surprised, and I think was doubting it for a little bit, but then when it, you know, went into a second day and there was no pain, you know, she had to come back and ask herself a few questions. And I think what she discovered was, oh, well, I guess I have one of those. So within tribes, they make room for people like myself to exist. So the medicine people born into specific family lineages, the women know that when they give birth to these type of children, that you just give them the space to do what they're here to do, because the assumption that they sort of give us to work with is that we're here to do work. And out of that, she just gave me the space. She didn't ask any strange questions. And she did have one caveat, though. She did say, you know, whatever you do, don't show your dad.
And why do you think that was? I mean, I also want to talk about, I think this is an amazing message for, you know, the crystal children and the star seeds and things like that, the children that are, you know, now coming around that have these healing abilities, that's important to just trust them and do like your mother did and encourage it and, you know, or just let them be themselves and not try to poo-poo it and say, you know, no, that's not correct. You're not, you can't do that. You know, that's, your mother did an amazing job, obviously, of raising you and doing that what is natural to all of us, you know. And I mean, because these abilities, we all have abilities like this. We just don't know about them, and we don't learn that they're skills that we can develop.
Well, I agree. And, you know, I guess I was fortunate in that I'm coming into an incarnation in a family that has ties into the culture that understands that these people are part of the journey, that they are indeed given the space to do the work, the exploration, the experimentation with others to, you know, develop a skill set that is not well understood by many, but everybody stands back and allows it to occur from that perspective. My father was studying at that time orthopedics, and he was steeped in that Western methodology, and it was only until about a year ago that he had finally given in to having his first session with me, and he was facing some kind of very unusual situation that was causing total body paralysis. And I just said, listen, you know, I'm not the one who's suffering here, it's you, so you need to decide what you'd like to do. So you either get on the table or you don't. Either way, I'm still having lunch, so you decide how this is going to work. And so finally he gave in, so he got on the table, and 2 hours later, the legs are moving, the arms are moving, he can put his hands behind his head, and even for himself, I think that was a shock to his system.
Wow. Yeah.
But I was looking at it, you know, a lot of it was tied to childhood events that, you know, tie themselves into the future. So things that had occurred at a very young age were now in his late 70s, all the roads were meeting here, and this was the consequence.
Yeah, I very much believe in that too. And I think, you know, a lot of shamans will tell you that disease and illness stems usually from past events, traumas, things like that, that we have suppressed, or thought forms that come in and just are able to, you know, accumulate, build up in a certain area of your body, and they manifest themselves in pain. And until you deal with that, and that's been my experience. I mean, you know, with my back pain when we did my thing, I haven't had, it just occurred to me now, like, I haven't had any pain. I haven't had any pain at all.
And my hands were over here. So.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, that just shows you, you can do it from a distance too. You don't have to be, you know, in front of somebody. But well, that's an amazing story. Why do you bring our ancestors into the healing, and why is this essential?
The story of the ancestors is not well understood outside of many of the Native communities. And I think that the story needs to come forward in that, you know, we have to understand that we are made up of the history of all of the people who came before us. So we will be affected by whatever our ancestors have experienced and left unresolved on their deathbed. So this story not being told to pretty much anybody in North America that I know of,
not at all.
You would call the logical outcome when you see families descend into playing out issues of trust, issues of abandonment, or issues of betrayal. This is what the family systems are doing. When you see that, when they come in here, you begin to realize that, well, wait a second here. No, this is only part of a story. You're not understanding that this is so ancient that it has thousands of years of evolution. And so on people's deathbeds, they didn't resolve, which the understanding of this should be that, you know, if you looked at it almost like a grid, the grid on the bottom and on the horizon there would be the energy of the universe to be understood as unconditional love, and the vertical line to be that of time moving across. So when we're at that place where death is imminent, the thing to be doing at this point is to take the sine wave of our light and to collapse the whole thing right in to unconditional love, therefore passing no information forward except for that which the future generations can then draw upon. So it's a two-sided knife. You have the one side where you have unresolved war, unresolved suffering, unresolved starvation, unresolved addiction, unresolved abuse. You have all these unfinished business that people tend to carry with them. Oh, I should have done that, but I didn't do it. I'm going to do it. And then this keeps cycling through while your ancestors are doing the same thing. So you get an accumulation of charge within the DNA that then begins to alter the functioning of the DNA in future generations. So you might have a perfectly family healthy system, but then all of a sudden you run into a situation where you have some malformation, you have a child that is suddenly experiencing some sort of sickness, and nobody's looking at the most obvious aspect of where this is coming from. So the body would be telling you the story, the body being showing you in the form of a metaphor of what's actually taking place. Well, when you look at it and you observe it, you begin to realize, hey, wait a minute, this looks like it is information that is coming from generation after generation after generation of unresolved, denied, or suppressed energy that has been flowing through the DNA. Well, when it arrived at this particular generation, it not only created warfare amongst the siblings and the parents, but it also kept the cycles of abuse, cycles of addiction, cycles of suffering, cycles of despair, cycles of depression moving forward. And now it's in our time zone. And what happens at this point is that it begins to take form. And if we begin to listen to our thoughts, or what we assume to be our thoughts but aren't, and we begin to entertain them, that focus then can initiate the energy of the unresolved, the denied, or suppressed charges moving forward throughout the DNA and arriving at you. So you're not really just sick for yourself. You are experiencing the sickness of yourself plus maybe hundreds upon hundreds of ancestors who have gone through the same experience. And so what are they doing? They're moving it forward now through time to find a living participating member who could then take responsibility for the energy and bring that back into unconditional love. So that's a story that needs to be understood, because the war that I see happening in people's family systems, it didn't begin today.
Right.
These problems have been accumulation over time. And what happens is you have alterations in the DNA, You then have changes to your cellular structure. You have changes to your energy system in terms of watching people's energy system move in a downward fashion, which then brings them into a match, like a vibratory match, for particular diseases, particular malformations within the body. So if we understand that the things that we are feeling today aren't always just our own deal, then we'll begin to understand that we can reduce the load by giving access to the ancestors to do the healing that they were meant to do. So in our culture, we understand it as the ancestors are responsible to do their own healing. In other words, we can't really do it for them. But what you were doing was you held that space open. And so my job was then to interact with all of them plus you in other lifetimes. And at that point, we were able to look at the belief systems that are causing so many difficulties, which, by the way, if we wanted to be completely honest, they're not actually real.
No.
If you look at it from this perspective, that you're living in a universe that has a creative being that puts out an energy of unconditional love. Well, now, if you want to find out if anything we're believing in is a true concept of the universe, measure it against that. So all of a sudden, it becomes apparent that if we're carrying on belief in blame, shame, guilt, judgment, jealousy, envy, bitterness, frustration, rage, hatred, and fury, patterns of abuse, of war, starvation, of subjugation, colonization, all of this stuff, none of this is anywhere near unconditional love. And therefore, the only reason why it's alive within us is because we are being conditioned to believe in these concepts to be real.
That they're okay, yeah. And that it's just a part of life when really
it's not.
And it's not what our creator meant it to be. And we've gotten so far away from that. And I think, I hope someday Western medicine evolves to be able to, use these applications in their healing methods, because it really is invaluable. And I mean, I'm sure you can go, tell me hundreds of thousands of stories of people, just curing themselves of addictions and stuff in one, one treatment, because I have heard of it. And, I can very much see how stuff like that could happen. So people that are hopeless, guys, like if you're getting any of this, if you hear any of this in you, and I know we all have issues to deal with, seriously, seek Errol out, and I'll get his information to you at the end of the show. But this has to be done.
Can I speak to that for a moment?
Yeah, sure.
Well, one of the very interesting things that happens with addiction is you have to look at this from multiple fronts.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority, and I mean, when you're working on, well, I guess you guys call it reservations, so I'll just use that term. It's, mm-hmm. So when you work on the Native American reservations, mm-hmm. In our communities, we just call them reserves. Mm-hmm. But when you're there, there's a high level of addiction. So I would say that it would be generous to say that the addiction rate was somewhere about 80% for all people above the age of 30. So, we're getting into pretty tragic sets of circumstances. The thing to understand about what's behind most of that is the unresolved belief in things of, I am not good enough. And then the next piece of that would be that you also have patterns of addiction. So what that would represent to you is in other lifetimes, you cycling through the same addictive patterns, not realizing that each time you were losing part of your soul light, which is now magnetized to the earth. Well, if you want to end the addiction, you need to bring back the lost light that you have been giving off in every lifetime as a result of the addiction that you're suffering with. So what's happening then is, we tune you into that part. You need to retrieve this because, in all honesty, what stops a lot of the addictions is the realization that that individual goes deep, deep, deep into that addiction because they were looking for a way to retrieve what they thought they lost about themselves. You did.
I love that.
It's the part
of
it. And it's magnetized to very specific realms. So each realm holding different vibratory frequencies. So if somebody's addicted to alcohol, that's where you're going to go look. And if it's any other substance, chemical, methamphetamines, whatever, each one of them has a separate vibratory oscillation, and your soul light is trapped in these places. You need to bring this back home to make yourself whole again, but also to heal the ancestral patterns that are being pushed forward from every generation. And when you're looking at alcohol, I have come across families that have been in addiction cycles for like 4,000 years. I mean, fermentation has been on this planet a very long time.
Yeah. Well, I know for myself, I had a cheerleading injury and therefore started, they prescribed me painkillers, and this was a long time ago, but, I inadvertently got addicted to. I didn't know what I was taking. I didn't know that this was going to happen to me. I was very much against drugs and things like that. But it was painful to not take it. It got so bad that I didn't even know where my own pain tolerance was anymore. And luckily, I was able to quit with that 8 years ago. But going through this, I realized there was still that portion of me that, that was kind of hidden in there, that fragment that I didn't have, and that light. And when we talked about that, we got to that part, I felt that energy come back, and I felt complete again, and that I don't need any substance to make me feel better. And I haven't been drawn, I haven't even thought about it in, seven or eight years. I've not been interested in it, but still, I still felt a sort of void about it. But I finally felt the completion of like, yeah, that's never going to be a problem for me again, ever. And that was just profound for me. And that's a hard story for me to share with you guys because, it's, none of us are perfect. I mean, that's obvious, but that's the one thing that was tough for me to admit to a lot of people. I hid it for a long time because I was embarrassed. And because that's just not my family, that's not how we do things. And it was truly one of those things I felt like I didn't know how to get out of. And finally having this be the ultimate conclusion of like, that chapter in my life I know is done and dusted, and that's over with, and that will never come back again, which I'd already known, but to feel it was so powerful. And I want to discuss a little bit about your process. How is it different from Reiki or other healing modalities?
This particular work begins with an agreement. So, I said before we start, it always starts the same way. Do you, Kirsten, give permission here today to be healed by your own energy? So by doing that, that agreement is made between us, but you're not really, that's not the important feature. The important feature is that agreement is actually between the spiritual side of cells. So I asked you on the ground, you basically are relinquishing your, I guess you would say, your rights, and so you allow for a higher level and deeper level of healing to proceed, because my agreement is actually, it is with you, but my agreement is mostly between my soul and yours, and so the information flow back and forth is a lot more complete, so we have access to be able to give you the questions that need to really and truly be asked, prompt you to bring forward knowledge by getting you to tap into your biological system. So for us, the understanding that we have is that the seat of human intelligence is through this heart center. It will never be up here. The field strength of the brain is too small compared to that of the heart. And we also understand and are taught at a very young age that hardest connection to total body communication, connection to the soul, connection to the highest part being that of your spirit. And if you want a telephone line straight in to whatever you want to call the creator to be, there's a set point straight through the center. And so when we get you to focus, bring the attention in, then the agreements allow for me to access what I need to access to be able to ask you the right questions that, by the way, they were wanting to empty this history of yourself out. So it's just a matter of if I can be calm enough, I will be able to pick up the information, and then it seems very seamless. I ask you the next question. I show you how to take all of this apart. So in essence, we had a situation yesterday with a highly you know, addicted person. Mm-hmm. And my wife has been learning this for a while. She's actually quite good at it. But she didn't understand what took place. So what happened was, the agreement being, she didn't want to be cooperative all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And that agreement is still in place because the work is still conducted. And basically her higher self pushed her out of the way and literally just said, what's next? And so we just went through the whole entire process. Now, she has the right to deny her own healing and be stubborn about it, but the fact of the matter, work is done. So the moment she decides to turn that around, she literally just needs to, and that's it.
And that's all that's required. Yeah, and I think it's beautiful that also it's you're doing the healing for yourself. It's not, you know, you're not claiming to you are a healer and you're an amazing healer, but it's like more like you're a conduit. You're the person, you know, providing the framework for it, and because of the process.
Well, it's actually a little different than even that. Okay. So the understanding that we have is that within the culture, we always communicate the idea to each generation that you are responsible for your own healing, and it is not the responsibility of a single other person. So the healers have an understanding that says that we are not responsible for the outcomes of others. Mm-hmm. Our job is to teach you what you already know how to do, because the understanding that we have is that every single person who is present in this particular time zone has at one incarnation or another been indeed a lifelong healer. So this is not news to anybody.
Right.
There isn't a single person in here who has not cycled through this type of learning in a lifetime. So we already know it's there. So my job then is simply to get that part to cooperate. And so the agreement that...
And the ego step out of the way and allow the healing to happen.
Absolutely, with access to full information. And it's not just information for a single lifetime. We have to look at you as total being, meaning all lifetimes, past, present, and future, and that of your ancestors, past, present, and future. This is absolutely necessary. So what happens with you then is we've already set in place that in your next incarnation, your problems are solved, because we've already taken care of that business.
Yeah, and it ends with the beautiful thing, too, is that people can realize it ends with you. If you do this, it ends with you. You're not passing this along to your children. I don't have to worry about it. And you know you've done your part in being the best parent you can be by doing this for your children and for your ancestors as well, who don't have to suffer with this anymore, you know? And for me, I think that the coolest thing, well, one of the coolest things, there are so many, I mean, was my psychic channels were so clear and still are. I'm not having, because I had to train myself to quiet those channels and kind of ignore them through. I would turn on white noise before I would, you know, meditate and before I would go into a reading, because I had to quiet those other things down so I could hear the real information coming through. I don't have to do that anymore. I just have I just get the information, and it's a lot clearer and a lot less convoluted with, you know, images that I can't understand, or it's just very, yeah, they're clear to me now. And that was another great thing. I mean, it's benefited my work. I know this week, you know, doing readings and stuff, people were just amazed at how spot on things were and very specific things, which I've always been specific, but this was, I knew it was like, you know, when you're on your game, because you know that the information is pure and true and not convoluted with anything else. And so for that, for me, you know, for my career is, you know, it's great, because I'm so interested to get into the healing part of it. And Earl's going to teach me how to do this method as well, which I'm super excited about doing, because I think that is the point of, you know, each person on this planet has a job to heal themselves. And in healing yourself, you heal your ancestors, you help heal the world. And that's all it takes. It just starts with one person. And that, yep. And just being open.
We get to the point where when we looked at, for instance, you know, situation with yourself, mm-hmm. it probably became obvious when I had spoken and said, you know, we're taking this all the way backwards from the point of view, all the way to the very first star beings that arrived on Earth, because mm-hmm. you have to include all the generations that came forward. And from the understanding of spirit is that you are all that. You are all of these things and yourself simultaneously. So we need to be cognizant of the fact that, you know, we have to be able to take a much broader understanding of ourselves and take it all the way backwards to the very first footprints that land in your DNA chain. Who were the first people that came here? And besides that, what did they bring here? Because war was not a part of this planet, so somebody brought it here, and it has been cycling through the generations unchecked. We're still fighting wars. This should have ended a long time ago. So we have to understand that we are affected by the history of our ancestors, the stories that they lived through you. But there's a flip side to this. Here's the part you're missing. When you heal your ancestors, you have access to information you never dreamed about.
So for
other people who are very talented, such as yourself, you are using more of the psychic abilities, but I've dealt with people who are prodigy musicians, things of this nature. What if you knew that you could, with permission, ask your ancestors to download the library of every one of their lifetimes where they played that instrument? What do you think is going to happen to your skill set? What if you knew that you could talk to the ancestors going all the way back to the very first star beings who would have had a much higher understanding of self and had them download within yourself the library of everything they knew about magic, intuition, how to heal, telepathy, I mean, you name it, it's there for the taking. So when we came into a cycle of suppression of humanity, and this has been going on for quite some time, this suppression is all about making sure that you never find out that you have access.
Yeah. It truly is. And that's what, there are people behind the scenes making sure we don't figure this stuff out, because then we lose control, or then they lose control, and we get our control
back.
And
your control is nothing more than an illusion, because what is control but an act of fear?
Yep.
And so you control nothing, and that's the joke that's being played on everybody. But here's the really interesting component of all of this. You all have children. Why aren't you going to the ancestors? Because remember, it's you in every lifetime, and you've lived all over the planet. So you have ancestors in every continent. There are people in your ancestral lineages right now that are teaching in some of the greatest universities on this planet. So why aren't we downloading from our ancestors, which is what I do with the people, all things mathematics, chemistry, physics, biology, algebra, functions and relations. I mean, we go through the whole gamut of everything. How many of them have written books, and why are you terrible at English? So let's bring this to the table. So
yeah, I have read
books with myself.
I had read about that someone had completely downloaded the ability to learn how to play guitar and play it well, like just from their ancestors, and then was able to almost, you know, just naturally knew things and just know how
to
do it.
This is your birthday.
Yeah. So that's an amazing aspect to it. I mean, I think I know in my experience, I went through these profound highs and lows when the ancestors came in, and everybody might not have this experience seeing them, but I saw them, and they were as far as the eye could see, you know, like kind of holding hands, but just going all the way back. And that was really profound to me, because some of them I recognized from pictures, and some of them I hadn't seen, but then I went back and looked through family photos and was just, that was them. And I was, that for me was, wow, okay, this was, you know, this, that was proof in the pudding, so to say, of, I didn't just imagine that picture either. That was them physically being there. But, you know, I felt it. I mean, I started bawling once they got there. I mean, it was like, I felt the weight of all of their problems, and it was heavy. It was so heavy. And I just, you know, little by little, as it got started to get lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter, and then I felt like I could fly kind of afterwards. I felt so much, you know, so much lighter and so much like
and,
I could
and
do
And there's
anything.
A give and a take in all of this, because what you were also experiencing too was just immense gratitude that these multiple generations, I mean, there are thousands upon thousands of generations for you to be able to give them the opportunity to lift from themselves in all of their incarnations everything that has been troubling to them, and then to just turn around and send to you an immense level of gratitude that you would then experience in real time. Most people, even those who don't operate with very clear sort of third eye vision in this type of healing, generally do have incredible visuals or intense flowing of color. And we just work with whatever your system is willing to provide us at that point in time. So you experienced a give and a take. You gave them the opportunity by holding the space. And they sent back to you an immense level of gratitude, which...
And I felt that. And I've actually had a couple of dreams from some of my ancestors thanking me and showing me things, you know, in addition to... And that they were able to now kind of... They explained it as... well, this is a great, great, great grandmother who explained to me. Now she's able to communicate with me openly through my dreams because she doesn't have this intense anger towards, you know, members of my family. And now she can get to know me. And that was really beautiful. And that was just a one dream I had. But that was profound to me because I didn't, you know, I've had dreams from other beings before, but not my ancestors. And I was talking to my brother last night, just really quick off topic, and he said, I made my Oma, our German grandmother, promise me when she died that she would haunt me. And so he's like, and she never has, because I was trying to explain to him what I do. He's very, you know, he's skeptic. And I said, well, Rick, have you ever tried to, you know, heal yourself and maybe some part of that relationship that would enable that to, that, you know, to happen? He was like, well, no, I didn't realize. Why would you have to do that? I'm like, and for one, she's not going to come haunt you, because why would she? You know,
Now, also remind yourself as well that there is a piece to this that needs to be brought forward, and that is that the healing starts and ends at the footstep of your brother, and then it continues from the other footstep all the way into the future, because he is part of the living members of your family. So it's up to him to decide to plug into the healing. But as far as the higher aspects of the self are concerned, healing is done. Yep. It's up to him, though. The responsibility is on his end to simply plug in. And once you do that, everything is downloaded and kicked in, and the healing is complete, because he received that by the permission of the ancestors.
Yeah. And it's interesting. This is kind of something I was debating whether talking about, because I obviously do, you know, I meditate every day, I clear things out every day, and I missed a big thing, and that was I had an entity attachment, and that shocked me, because I never would have thought that. I mean, I work with spirits all the time, I release stuff like that, and I never thought that there would be an entity that was attached to me. It was so ingrained in me that literally it made me feel like it was a part of me. And it took a while to get it to leave too. It didn't want to go. But this was amazing. Errol was able to send in this interdimensional being. It was this big black bear, because he didn't want to go. And I've never been able to have somebody implant something like that so I could see it, you know, telepathically, of course, but never a vision. And this for me was fascinating and also terrifying, because that black bear, I knew it meant business. And I was even scared when I saw, because I all of a sudden saw it come across my vision. And then the being just got, whoop, it was out of there. Like, peace, you know, I don't want anything to do with this.
And
I got that feeling too, that just the energy behind that bear was, whoa, you do not want to mess, you know, you do not want to mess with this guy. And so it scared me, but I was profoundly grateful, because I finally, once that piece left, that for me was, oh my gosh, it had taken so much of my energy. And I
thought he was doing it was particularly nasty. He had been doing it from the bottom of your feet, meaning as the energy is leaving the earth to enter the bottom of the feet, he was literally harvesting as an energy harvesting exercise. Well, the piece that we had on him is that he knows the rules that go on in here, and that is you don't have any right to do that because no permission was given. When we asked you to leave, you're getting only one opportunity, And should you decide that you want to be defiant about that, well then, in the culture we have a number of these spiritual creatures that we deal with, the bears, the eagles, the wolves, intelligence that comes in from things like the turtles, the fish. So we have these different beings that sort of walk with us, is the term they usually mm-hmm. say. And that particular being has the ability to enter your field. And
oh, yes, it does.
and here's the thing. It is ferocious on the land as a real creature that's in flesh and blood. It's far more ferocious as a creature in the spiritual realms because it has a great deal of
time
behind it.
I felt power and exactly, and like cred, ability, if you will. Like,
oh, absolutely. And I've seen them tangle with a few other beings from other spaces that thought that this wasn't a force to be reckoned with, and learned a very valuable lesson very quickly, because they don't fool around. The same, you know, ferocious aspects that we see here can be then brought forward in a spiritual understanding of things. It is not only a highly developed being, it is highly psychic, highly intuitive, and it has skills in magic that it'll stare down any person who has, advanced skills and say, take your best shot, because you're only going to get one.
Yeah, and it was so funny, because I got a little bit scared, like, oh my gosh, when I first discovered it was there, I didn't want to really believe it for a second. And then it all kind of clicked in and it made sense. It's like, oh my gosh. And then you said, all right, because I said, he's not going. And you said, oh, don't worry, I'm going to send you something. He's going to go. And you were just so confident in it that I knew whatever was about to happen next was going to work. And I think that confidence as well. But then seeing that bear, just, I mean, literally it came from my peripheral vision. It was like, and I shuddered almost, like, whoa, okay, that's, you know, that was next level stuff. But so there's pretty much nothing that you cannot get rid of through this. And you take back your sovereignty. And I think what people don't realize is that you have rights as a human being.
Absolutely.
When you take drugs and alcohol and things like that, you do give up those rights inadvertently to, you know, allow beings to come in temporarily. But you can get rid of them. And
100%.
Yep. And
your ancestors often can be called forward to step in on a human-to-human basis. When you're dealing with higher intelligence, you need to bring in something that carries the spiritual weight of something like a bear that mm-hmm. has, you know, multiple dimensions of understanding contained within, and it's not going to back down from very many things. And I've had to intervene on people who've had, truly bad attachments, you know, something that was sent. And oftentimes it just came down to, you know, a staring match. And then at that point, the other one realized there's no point to be here because, I will be consuming my own energy to stay in this situation, to have to fight this spiritual being. Therefore, game is over. I have to go.
Yeah, because they don't want to expend any of their energy. You were telling me that's not the game. They want to just take your energy for free without you knowing. And once they have to expend a little bit of energy, they'll move it on to the next person who isn't aware, you know. And that's kind of how the game works. So if everybody starts becoming aware, they're going to stop harvesting our energy.
Absolutely. And you're being harvested through so many deceptive ways. I mean, you know, one of the things that we dealt with your ancestors, mm-hmm. passports, driver's license, birth certificates, government-issued IDs, all forms of, like, religious-type rituals where, you know, it looks on the surface like this is about, you know, kindness, love, and generosity and that type of thing, but there's something else going on in the background where you're giving up energy without permission. And we took care of those things with respect to you as well, and, of course, there was a lot of energy received back through that process.
Now, have you ever experienced anybody not having their ancestors come forward, or saying, I can't see anything, or does that ever happen?
Yep, and if it becomes, if it's too much for them, they're consumed with wanting to have a show, well, then the agreement is still in place, and usually at that point, they turn off. So basically, the higher self comes in, pushes you over. You'll be in a place where you almost feel like you're in a dream state or asleep.
And kind of like a trance.
They
okay.
have heard none of the entire process. But for me, there's an advantage because with the soul in place, well, we can go to just about anything, anywhere, anytime, any space. We can go back billions of years of history if we choose to, and we can go to wherever we need to go to. So there is an advantage to that person, you know, being uncooperative or unable to get past that, to just have them come in and just kind of, see ya. All right, so, let's keep moving.
So there's truly nobody you can't work with. I mean, you've never had an experience where, you know, it just completely, they've, Don't even the biggest skeptic, you can pretty much.
I've had lots of doctors, professors from various universities. I mean, we've had highly traumatized people coming off battlefields who, you know, believe in nothing. And anyway, once the agreement is there, when they're difficult, we just say move them out of here. Put the healing in place, and when they come around to a higher level of understanding, all they have to do is just simply agree, and then the healing is there in all of its entirety, waiting for you. But you have the right to suffer, and as the healer, and as especially an Aboriginal healer, we're not here to interfere with your right to suffer. So if you want to suffer, okay, no problem. Who's next?
Yeah. But it's that truly is, that's your choice to make, whether you want to continue suffering or not. And it's, this isn't a big time investment for the benefit that you get from it. I mean, it really isn't. And with 2 hours of my life, and I mean, I'm so engrossed and so excited to learn how to do this method now, because this is truly something that it changes you so profoundly, I can't even put it into words. It is the most profound experience I've ever had, and I've had a lot of experiences in this realm since I've gone through my awakening and even before that. But this is something I think everybody needs to hear this message, that try it out. What's the worst thing that can happen? You've probably tried everything else if you're going through addiction, you know, depression, abuse, anything. Just try it out. You know, I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen?
The beauty of this as well is that it turns power back over to you, in that if you can agree to keep being the participant and stay present in it, and you're okay with the expansion into thousands upon thousands of years of things that have been going on, if you're okay with all of those things, the beauty of it is that you become very self-empowered, because the one thing that really becomes, I guess, entrenched in the people who do this is that they become aware that I am and only ever will be my soul. This work proves this to me. There is no discussion. There is no debate that can ever happen, because the experience is so profound, and then it redefines. So you mean to say I'm not the physical body? No, you're not. The physical body is an intelligence, but it is the earth. And if we understand things from this perspective, we can change everything. You are and only ever will be the soul. And your culture needs to bring itself around to giving you this understanding, so that you can then understand that we as the souls were called here to be a part of this planet, for the evolution of the planet itself. So how would the souls evolve the planet? Simple. They would have an individuated lifetime of experience. And in teaching the body how to love itself without judgment, in teaching the body art and music and science and you know, all different forms of expression, teaching it how to live in joy and have beautiful relationships.
Mm-hmm. All the beautiful things.
Yeah,
all
the history of Earth is contained within you. And by way of this, everything that you're experiencing is either going to evolve the planet or set it back. So if we understand that that's why we're here, well, then it just becomes simple. Live a really interesting life. And by that, you evolve the planet, because this is why you're here. But they don't want to tell you this.
No, they don't. But you're hearing it now, so nobody has any excuse anymore to not do their part, you know? I mean, you've heard it now, and I can guarantee you, you will have an if you do this with Errol, and you will have an experience that will change you. I can say that 100% because I felt it so strongly, and I know intuitively that you have this ability to be able to bring that out even in the biggest skeptic, I think. So, and then you've confirmed it by telling me that yourself. I want to talk a little bit about the process so people kind of understand how it works. You know, we first started with inviting the ancestors in, thanking them for being there, and you asked me for my permission. That was important. And then we kind of started going through the chakras and the different colors. And you would just kind of ask me what, you know, what the color violet, what appears. And
so what we were doing there was this. We are imprinting information by color and therefore by frequency. So what I would do is I'd start at the top of the head and I would ask, well, I'm asking the soul, but I'm asking you as well. But the soul is really reading the record back of you. Are there any issues, traumas, memories, emotional charges, beliefs, programs, events, or situations stuck here in the color violet that can now step forward for resolution? And so then when that was done, we went to the indigo, the blue, the green, the yellow, the orange, the red, and then, you know, we were able to clear those out. So now all of a sudden, your body is no longer carrying imprinted information that then clogs the system up. No. Allows you to have a greater flow. It allows you to have clarity of thought, of feeling, of emotion. All these expressions are then able to be cleaned up because you got rid of all of this information that is sitting there waiting to be processed, but nobody's telling us to process this.
Yeah, and I think the other important thing was that once, I mean, there can be many different things that come up in each area, you know, like a violet, and then we move down and there was like five or six things in one different area too, and things that I think people don't, truly stuff from my past lifetimes and stuff that I didn't think would have any bearing on this, you know, but the most profound thing for me was something. Well, there's two profound things, and I'm telling you guys this just because I want you to understand the level of depth that this goes into. But I've always had, I guess, I thought I'd healed all of my relationship stuff with my ex-husband, but I guess something came up where I was still angry with him for not being there for his daughter, you know, like I want him to be, and not by paying child support and things like that. And I finally let that go, and then Errol asked me, what do you think he came into your life? And I was like, well, I don't know, I guess to make me to teach me how to be the strong individual that I am now, because that's what happened from it. And he was like, well, he served his purpose then in your life, didn't he? And I was just, that, boom, I was like, oh, wow, that's true. He did that for me. And then there was no reason to be angry anymore. None. Because he did this amazing thing for me. And I know now that my higher self and his higher self worked that out together for me to learn that lesson in this life. And so therefore there's no more animosity there. There's nothing. And it just, that for me was huge. And I had a similar deal with my father, had some physical abuse issues when I was a kid. And I thought we had worked through a lot of that too. And we have, I mean, we have a great relationship now, but There was some stuff that came up too that I was still holding on from my childhood that I didn't realize. And it was interesting, Errol brought my attention back to the little girl who was about to go through, you know, getting hit. And I was able to talk to her and to see her, I'm about to tear up right now, but to see her heal and to see her understand that it was going to be scary, but it's going to be okay. And it's, you know, it's going to be over with and it's done now. And to get her to she walked up out of that memory. And then he just had me collapse that memory. And that was powerful.
That's that same approach works in so many different forms of traumatic events, whether it be war, a car accident, abuse, suffering, where we should try to understand that wherever we keep our energy alive in a memory of the past, it's coming back to your doorstep, because whatever that event is, it will repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat until there is resolution to it. And folks, you can almost set your clock to the time and the date when it will repeat again, because it's so well timed. So when you were able to go back to that memory, you could tell that little girl, because the understanding behind that particular thing that you did was this: that child must also be responsible for her own healing. So therefore, your job was simply to get her to come out of that that particular memory through an act of forgiveness of self and other. And by doing that, she then frees herself from the memory. Memory then was put to rest by you, and therefore there's no more repeating cycle, because our energy creates realities. We are the soul, and we make worlds, including this one. And so everywhere that your energy is stuck, whether it's on a battlefield, or whether it's on an operating table, or whether it's back when you were 6 years old and being abused, makes no difference. You will have these things repeated in your life, and it's always about the outcome.
Yep.
It's never about any of the processes leading up to it. It is the outcome. So we just need to understand, what was the outcome? Did the outcome of these events leave you feeling that you weren't good enough? Fast forward to today, you're stuck in an addiction because you're not feeling good enough. So it is still repeating.
Yeah.
So these things need to be worked out. And we have to understand that, you know, our energy creates worlds, creates realities. And if you're stuck in a war, you know, folks, get ready, because if you're not going, your future generations are going, because they have to. Somebody needs to go there to try to retrieve all of the soul light and come back out of the situation and try to make themselves whole again. So it keeps repeating. So I did mention to you at the end that there's a necessity for your country to recognize that you're still engaging in a lot of war. And what you're not understanding is that these people coming back home are imprinting the walls, the furnishings, the clothing they wear, the beds they sleep on. And you are setting up the future generations to have the same kinds of experiences that you had, unless you take responsibility for the energy that is now held by everything, including the land that the building sits on. These are the relationships the First Nations were able to understand through the ceremonial practices, the deep, deep, deep interactions with Earth itself as an intelligence, as a mother to us, by giving us these bodies to have experiences with.
I think it's also important, you know, to talk a little bit about your, you know, your lineage and what you guys have done for us, because you guys basically gave us this planet healed, and we've kind of taken it and just crumpled it up and, you know, stomped on it and thrown it away, and taken sacred ground that was very sacred to, you know, not just Mother Earth, but to your culture as well, that, and just completely defiled it, and, you know, just did horrible things just in the name of money and power that is an illusion anyway. And I think it's important that we all realize this. We are all one, you know. It doesn't matter what race, creed, color, religion, you know, sexual orientation, whatever. We are all one. And we're all interconnected. And I've known that for a while, but you feel it too with the ancestral healing. You feel that, and if you do harm to one, you do harm to, you know, ultimately yourself too, you know. But it's just a big interconnected web. And I think, you know, you'll be able to say it more profoundly than I will, but we need to quit being takers, taking from Mother Earth and plunging through our natural resources and harming Mother Earth, or there's going to be nothing left soon for us to plunder out of, and humanity as well will cease to exist if we don't you know, we don't take a responsibility for that. And I know you have gotten communication from the elders, and I'd like you to share a little bit about that, what they've told you.
I think the question that you had asked me was originally about the idea of weather patterns and, you know, all this climate change. And to be honest with you, you know, I get to speak to a lot of the elders, and they're not the least bit concerned. These are the ones who, you know, walk the land and put down their tobacco each day and say their prayers. They're in touch with this planet, and from their perspective, it's just another day, and there's nothing really to be concerned about, because these are cycles, and each of these cycles can relate to other time zones that those people were present. So some of these people being alive in the 50s were saying that, you know, what you're seeing today kind of looks like what was going on in the late end of the 50s. And there was another little period there in the 60s, and another tiny period back in the 70s, and so on. And they're saying that, yes, okay, it looks a little bit more intense or whatnot, but in their understanding of things, it's just simply part of the natural cycles of things. So to be wrapped up in the understanding of the climate issue is really just to be giving your energy away to somebody else's wants and desires for you to keep you in a state of fear. All you know, the truth of it is that your body is the earth. So if you wanted to find out if there's climate change, why don't you ask your body?
Well, that's interesting.
And she will speak through it and tell you implicitly what is actually going on. These are cycles of change. And so from their perspective, there is nothing to be concerned about. And yes, you know, there will be times when there will be more snow and higher winds and more destructive patterns, but par for the course. If you look back in the history in this part in South Central Ontario, you didn't want to live here 100 years.
Yeah. No.
I mean, the weather was just was insane. But one thing that we can take away from all of this is that your body is the earth, and so by actions that you perform through prayer, through meditation, you actually have a profound impact upon the earth. But if you really, really, really want to make change, you truly want to see this place come back into its pristine you know, layout, then what I would suggest is you go through these healings, you heal those ancestors, then the weight of that prayer is not only just you in this lifetime, but it's you in all lifetimes, plus all ancestors backing up what you're doing. So you're creating powerful resonance patterns that then interact with the other beings that we haven't spoken about, that, you know, earth and air and fire and water. I mean, these are all living beings that are here for communication if we so desire it. They are here to help us, to guide us, to show us. And we're just not doing this. So the First Nations here are still conducting a lot of these ceremonies. They're in secret, going into places away from, you know, camera systems and doing things where there are blessings for water, trees, land, for the winds, for rains. I mean,
they're still doing this for us, and we don't even realize
yes,
it.
Yes, and they don't want anything in return. They just want others to sort of do their piece by recognizing that your body is carrying within it the history of Earth, and also, if you really wanted to be truthfully honest, contained within your entire body is the history of the universe. So you are not just the soul. You are in a relationship to this most powerful instrument that is highly intelligent, highly intuitive. It can move the wind. You can use intention to clear things and make water clean. I mean, there are all manners of things. There are stuff happening in Native ceremonies where absolutely no outsiders are permitted. But if you ever get a chance to get inside and see some of these things, these people are doing stuff that defies
the real deal. Yeah.
Yes. And they're moving stuff. Like even I've had to do it on an occasion of a tornado coming down my street. Moved it because you can.
Yeah.
Not to tell you how it's done, but I'm just saying you can do this.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people probably think magic is this, you know, Hollywood overblows it. It's again makes it this big fireworks show, which is not really what it is. A lot of it starts here, you know, healing the inside. And then when you do that, then you're able to project your energy out into changing other things in the universe. And
yes,
it's really easy. Like, it's really easy to understand once you've been able to do it. But the first part starts with you. And then you heal that, and you heal your ancestors, because taking care of you will do that. And then, you know, then you can move on to trying to help, you know, humanity in other ways, which, you know, I'm trying to do now. And I don't, you know, that's the thing too. I don't want any.
Learn to clear your buildings that you live in. Mm-hmm. Learn to clear the land that the building sits on. If you did nothing else, you change everything, because contained within the walls are every argument unresolved. contained and held by the walls and the furnishings are, you know, every abuse that ever occurred that was never resolved in that space. So if you want to really and truly help the planet, you help it by removing the thoughts, the feelings, the emotional charge, the memory, the events and the situations stuck within your personal space that is affecting everything in your life. Change that. Don't worry about everything else. Everything else will change itself. And understand it like this. This planet's been around for 4.5 billion years, and if it didn't want us here doing this job, if it thought that we were being that destructive, it's a shake, and that's it, we're done. But that isn't happening, because this planet is anticipating that we expand our minds and allow for ourselves to then expand the heart to bring in from other dimensions and spaces the power that you have that's there. It's for your own use to then ultimately evolve this body, but evolve the planet. Move the entire planet to a new frequency where there's greater, where healing is instantaneous, where, you know, thoughts create beautiful realities and
manifestation is, it's like that, you know.
Instantaneous. This is the direction we need to go. And so with that, if we just start by cleaning your own space, which is this, your focus, giving unconditional love to your space, you then take care of everything that's creating problems with you, because, you know, the simple understanding is this: you have an argument in a room and you leave that room, the next couple of people walk in, get into an argument, because that energy needs to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, thank you, Errol. Seriously, I really appreciate you coming on and doing this. And if anybody would like to, and please do try him out, you will not regret this. You can email him at arrole@yahoo.com and just in your subject line put healing, please. And if anybody would like any information on classes on healing, if you are a light worker, you want to learn how to do this, he also offers those, and you can incorporate into your healing modality however you want. It's a malleable kind of thing. So he'll work with you individually or whatever. Just send him an email, and you can find him on Facebook as well. And
I'd like to also just say to everybody out there that you know, you have a large population of veterans that really could benefit from the understanding that that they have a part to play that's just about healing the self, and by doing so, you know, you have tremendous benefit in your environment by simply removing the memories of war, the memories of all of the things that occurred, the charges that are carried with it, and all of these things. And I think that what could be interesting is maybe, you know, if you wanted to look at maybe organizing some people to just learn about one aspect, we could do it as a big, you know, big teaching lasting just a couple of hours, and we can show people how to do this and heal themselves at the same time. I mean, this is...
I would love to do something like
it's
that.
It's here.
Yeah.
I would be more than happy to do it, because I enjoy this, and I think it's...
And that shows.
And it
shows that you care, and... you know, I want to do the same thing, and I can't wait to learn this and get out there and do stuff like that, like go do this for veterans that can come home and be happy for once, you know, and PT, you know, the people that have served in wars, like that's something they need. I mean, and just, you know, families that have a drought with addiction, like I'm so excited to do stuff like that, and that's because of you. And I really thank you so much for the work that you do, and I really appreciate it all. So thanks again.
My pleasure. I enjoyed this conversation, and I look forward to many more in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks, Errol.
Okay.